let's give Jesus our cornerstone one big round of applause. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go right into our message for today. So while you guys get your Bibles, iPhones, Nooks, whatever you guys got your Bibles on, I want you guys to get ready. I have this word that God has placed in me since last week. 2 weeks ago, we didn't get a chance to meet. It's my own my human has gotten away. Lost the keys to the church. Can you imagine that? And I found it. Amen.
Amen.
It's like some of us were lost. God found us.
Amen.
The testimony of every mistake. So we got this word that I want you guys to hear today. Amen. But before I start, our brother Darryl, 2 weeks ago, when he knew we was getting ready to do this sermon or this series, he stumbled upon this story. Now, I just want to just briefly share with you guys. It's like what would you call it? An allegory or something? It's this allegory. And Darryl, you know, he read it from another website, and then he just said, hey, this goes in line with what we were talking about for the series. So he's just going to share it, and then I'm going to just jump forward from there. Is that all right? All right, so let's receive Darryl as he just comes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. And as JR mentioned, and then I read this about a week and a half ago, and it really blessed me. And, you know, I told him about it, and he said it would be in line with what, you know, he's going to be teaching about. So I hope it blesses you. The title of the story is Take the Sky. And it reads, a farmer tried to raise an eaglet among some chickens. The eaglet was taught to run around like a chicken and scratch the dirt like a chicken. Instead of flying, it was always taught to look down and to run away from snakes like a scared chicken. But each time it did those things, it knew in its heart that something was wrong. One day it happened to look up and see an eagle flying high and it's majestical in the sky. But the snake grasped in its talons. The eagle gave a loud shriek and resonated deep within the heart of the eaglet. Each time the eaglet saw the eagle, it knew in its heart that it was beholding its true nature. It tried to tell the chickens about it, but the chickens just said, stop dreaming, you're a chicken. We chickens are earthbound. We don't fly. And we're terrified of snakes. But the more the eaglet saw the eagle, the more it saw its true destiny. The sight and call of the eagle eventually captured its heart. And finally, it was able to shut out the voices of unbelief, shake off its earthbound mentality, and take off to the skies. To live the high life as an eagle. My friend, God calls us to be eagles, and he calls us to live the high life with him. When you were born again as a child of God, everything necessary for success came from being the head and not the tail, for being above and not beneath, and for living a victorious life. It was birthed in you. Keep seeing and meditating on your true identity in Christ, a beloved, righteous child of God, destined to soar and reign in life. The more you get this into your heart, the more you'll be able to shut out the voices that try to keep you down and defeated and live in the high life. Amen. Amen. So you guys got that? A chicken grew up with eagles. No, an eagle grew up with chickens, but was told by the farmer that it was a chicken. And one day he saw an eagle and it's like, hey, I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? And every time he tried to fly, chickens can't fly. So every time it found out, it saw this eagle flying above its head, it was like, something in him was just saying, I think I can do that. Like, I want to, you know, be that eagle. I want to be able to soar and go where I feel like going and be able to do what I feel like doing. And nobody can tell me no, because I'm an eagle, you know. And he finally just had the guts one day to just actually do it and found out it could really fly and be that eagle. And I really feel that until we look up, as that chicken was able to look up,
and was able to go vertical, so to speak. He was able to then elevate and actually become what God had originally called him to be. And so many times, I was just thinking about last week's message or the week before that. We talked about having a vertical focus. And today's focus is going to be having a vertical purpose. For I believe a vertical focus gives you a vertical purpose. All right? Having a vertical focus gives you a vertical purpose. When that chicken or that eagle stopped listening to the chickens around it, it found the courage to actually be what God called them to be. And I believe that you will always become a victim of your environment or a byproduct of what you see around you until you're willing to look somewhere else. You're willing to look beyond where you currently are. It's like if I grow into projects and that's all I know is the projects, until I get a new perspective and I can see myself outside of that life, I'm always going to find myself comfortable there. I'm going to see myself, this is where I belong. Until one day somebody gives you the opportunity to say, listen, you can do better than this. You don't have to stay here. Not to say if you're in a project, that's a bad thing. But where you are right now doesn't have to be where I am. Right now I'm in Canarsie. I'd rather be somewhere else. Come on. Right? You can go higher than where you are. I'm in an apartment, but in a year or so, I'm going to be in a house. Why? Because I'm seeing more for myself. Right? Because I have a vertical focus. My view is not just built on where I am right now. I'm always looking at the next accomplishment, the next goal, the next feat that I can have. And I want you to know that God wants you to see yourself always seeking for more. Amen. But the highest place that we can seek, I found, is not found on earth. The highest place that we can seek to get a new perspective is heaven itself. And here at Hungry for God, we believe that you don't have to die to go to heaven.
Come on.
We believe that Jesus died to bring heaven here.
Amen.
Jesus came from heaven to earth to show us
the way.
And so when he came here, not only did he leave his world, but he brought his world with him. And he told us, listen, you have access to heavenly places. And so we're going to spend the next few minutes just looking at what the scriptures talk about, this vertical purpose that we have. Let's look at the book of Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to give you guys a number of verses. And I'm going to specifically talk about the three-point focus of a vertical purpose. The three-point focus of a vertical purpose. Is that right? Children mean life. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. You guys have it? Say amen. Verse 1, read from the King James Version. Verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above. Set your mind, another translation says, set your mind on things that are above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right? Before I go any further, let me just pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now for your word. You sent your word. Your word became flesh and dwelt among us to show us the way back to the life that you've called us to live, the vertical life. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and you died for us. You rose again for us. You went vertical just so that we can gain a new perspective, a new focus, a new purpose that's found only in you. And so, Jesus, I ask that as we go into this word, that you will open the eyes of our understanding. I pray, God, that our people here will walk out of this place having a new view of you, Lord, and a new view of themselves. Because ultimately, you want to show us who we are in your Son. So, Father God, I thank you now for your word. May it bring life. May it bring strength. May it bring health and wealth and all that you called it to do in our lives. We open up our hearts and we all say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, in the book of Colossians, Paul says, we are risen with Christ. The day that we decided to accept Christ in our lives, The Bible says that not only were we saved, but we were risen with him. That means that when Christ was lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. You know, Jesus came down. He was the most humblest man that we ever seen walk the face of the earth. When you think about the fact that God put himself in a body, came to earth just to die on behalf of humanity. I mean, that is the greatest act of humility that we can ever see. Because number one, God in himself can't die. In order for that to happen, he has to make himself human. You know, what kind of downgrade is that? To leave, you know, the highest heaven, streets are paved with gold, you created everything, and limit yourself in a physical body just to meet us where we are, you know? And so I love the fact that God found himself want to become one with us so that he can be touched with all of our infirmities, to feel what it feels like to be human, to feel what it feels like to feel frustrated or to go to the bathroom. Okay, God experienced all of that stuff when he came to the earth in Christ Jesus. And he did all of that just so that he can relate to us and then say, listen, I lowered myself just so that I can now raise you up to be where I am. All right? So God met us where we are, but then when Christ died and rose again, he was saying, listen, now that I'm rising, I want you to experience what it's like to live in heavenly places. And we have permission, we have access to actually experience heavenly realities while we're here on this earth. And when we see when Jesus walked this earth, we saw the capabilities he had, right? From healing sicknesses and diseases to improving the quality of life in those around him. Jesus, everywhere he went, the Bible says he was doing good. Goodness and mercy followed him. People loved to be around Jesus because he gave life meaning, you know? How many people know that when Jesus went to the wedding, the first miracle he performed when he turned what? Water into wine. Come on. That means our God was a God of celebration and he loved to have a good time. You know, turn water into wine just so people can go and have a good time at a wedding. Come on. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. He loves us enjoying life. He wants to see us in succeeding in life. Then that's one of the concepts we need to get down in our hearts, that God is an advocate of our success. Why don't you look at somebody next to you and say that. Say, God is an advocate of your success. Come on. God wants us to be successful in life. Amen. He wants us to have a purposeful life. And we want that of ourselves. But we got to understand that God has a way of doing it in a way that supersedes our way of doing it. Right? So let's look at this verse again. If you then be risen with Christ, if Christ died and he said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to me. If we put our faith in what Christ did for us, that he died and he rose again for us, he then says, now seek those things. Seek it. Look for it. Those things which are where? Above. So we talked about, I have to change my focus, change my seek. Now I have to seek for things that are above me. In the vertical plane, which is heaven, and where Christ is seated, where he's seated by the right hand of God. And in verse 2, it says, set your affection or set your mind on things which are above. Now, God will not tell you to do something that's not possible. He's not going to tell you to set your mind on these things if he didn't have in his heart, if he didn't actually want to release this into our lives, all right? So there's things above us. And I was thinking about it, you know, explorers, they love to dig below the ground, right? We look for treasures in the earth, right? We look for gold, we look for oil, and we're looking below the ground and we're still digging, looking for more things that can help, you know, boost the economy, so to speak. But then while man is looking below the earth, God is saying, I want my believers to look above the earth. While everyone else is looking below the surface, God is saying, look, I want you to go vertical because I have something in store for you that you can't access in your own strength, but your faith will cause it to come. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are things not seen that are more real than the things which you can see right now. And God is saying you can have access to it if you're willing to go vertical. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going vertical.
I'm going vertical.
All right? So there's this destiny, and God wants to define what it is that it looks like. You know, even when I was you know, we're all trying to find meaning in our lives. And, you know, when we go to a dictionary, right, we look something up to find the meaning. And so what we're going to do for the next few minutes is we're going to look up the meaning or the definition of what the Lord has in store for us, his vertical purpose. Let's fast forward to another chapter in the Bible. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. It's right before Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So two books behind. You're going to go to the book of Ephesians. And Paul, once again, is giving us some insight about what's happening around the throne of heaven. All right? So now we're in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Bible says, I'm reading from our translation, it says, you have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame in love. King James Version says, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now the first point of a vertical purpose, I want you guys to understand. Point number one is that there is a vertical heritage that God has for you. A vertical heritage. If you're taking notes, write that down. Vertical heritage. You see, your purpose has a heritage, it has an identity, and it has an inheritance. It has a heritage, it has a past, it has an identity, where you are, and then it has an inheritance, something that you can grab a hold of real soon if you're ready to get it, all right? So, first thing I want you guys to understand is that your purpose did not begin the day you were born. Your purpose did not even begin the day your mother got pregnant with you. As a matter of fact, your purpose did not even originate when the world was created. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 4 that we have been chosen in Christ when? Before the foundations of the world. God designed the purpose of our lives and the plan for all of humanity even before he created the world. Before he created Adam and Eve, God already had a plan laid out of how he wanted humanity to be run. I mean, this was a well thought out plan, right? So we have this plan, and we're realizing that even before creation, God had a purpose for our conception. And our heritage does not begin on the earth. It actually begins in heaven. So this is why when we go back to the place that when Christ came to meet us where we were, it was because Christ is saying, listen, I'm trying to get you back to the plan that God had already designed for you, even before the foundations of the world. It's amazing. All right, I'm not talking about a bunch of history books. Your history books don't know nothing about this. This comes by revelation and truth. This is what the Holy Spirit reveals to us, all right? We don't know who we are. God knows who we are. And we have to go to the source to find out who we really are. Amen? So, in heaven, there was a strategy and there was a purpose and a plan for our lives. This is the plan that Jesus orchestrated for us. Amen? So, we're going to find out more. So, long before the earth's foundation was laid, God had you in mind and he settled on us to be the focus of his love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Look at verse 11, the same chapter. I'm reading from the Message translation. The Message Bible reads, it's in Christ we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. God was thinking about us before we were even thinking about him. He had a plan for us, and he knows more about us. And so when we go vertical, it's about finding out what was this glorious plan that God designed for us even before we were created. Amen? Another verse says in Colossians, back to the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1. It also says, let me look at verse 15. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. When we look at God's original purpose in everything, we will recognize that God found us. He founded us. He created us, and he started us, and he had a plan for us, and that is the vertical purpose we're talking about. I'm not talking about what job you're trying to get. I'm not talking about what career path you're going to choose, because I've realized that when you get in Christ, all the things that he had lined up for us before the foundation of the earth will fall in line for us. So you can go through life trying to figure out what you're called to do, or you can go to the source of life and let him tell you what you've been called to do. And I find out that is a lot easier that way. Some people go through their entire life never knowing what they've been called to do. Because the only way we're going to find out is when we go to Christ. Because God created from the before the foundation of the earth that all things will be found in Christ Jesus. Amen? So now the next point of a vertical purpose we want to know is that we have a vertical identity. Somebody say identity.
Identity.
A vertical identity. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. I'm going to give you guys a number of verses, so keep up with me, right? Romans chapter 8. What does the Bible say about our vertical identity? Verse 29. You guys are there? I'm going to read the King James, and I'm going to read the Message translation. Verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The Message Bible says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored, and we see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. In other words, God doesn't see us the way man sees us. Or God doesn't even see us the way we see ourselves. Oftentimes, we see ourselves according to the labels that people put on us, or the labels, once again, that society puts on us. But God only sees us, the Bible says, God sees us according to the reality of how he sees his very own son. God loves his son. The Bible says he gave him his glory in John chapter 17. Jesus has the glory of the Father because the Father loves the Son. But then what we see from this verse is that from the very beginning of time, God created us so that he can love us as much as the same way that he loves his very own son. The Bible says John 3:16, "For God so loved the what? The world, that he gave his only begotten son." See, that verse really doesn't really speak volumes to you until you know how much he loved his son. And then he said, "I'm going to send my son to die for you." So if he's willing to let his son die for you, that means he must love you as much as he loves his son. Come on. So for God so loved us, loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And the plan was so that you can begin to recognize, hey, God, you're willing to give up your son just for me? And the Father says, yes, because I have a vertical purpose for you. And what I want to do is see you actually conformed into the same image of my son. I want to look at you now, and I want you to know I see you the same way I love Jesus, the same way I'm willing to give it all that I have for my own son, for my own children. You have now been adapted. You have a heritage in heavenly places, and now you can now come to me the same way my own son can go to me. Amen? Why is that so important? Why is it so important? Because now we can no longer look at ourselves and just say, I'm just me. I'm just Charmin. I don't have much. My family, You know, we didn't really have much growing up, and I really don't have much growing up. I'm just Ryan. I'm just, you know, this kid from Guyana, and you know, you just begin to look at yourself according to what everybody says. But when you see yourself from the perspective of God and say, God orchestrated and preordained my life even before the foundation of the world. Not only did he do that, but he says, now I want my life to be lined up with the life of my son. Meaning that now, God, I can look at you and I can have a new identity where I can see myself as a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. And it took, the Bible says that the fullness of time Christ came, it took centuries, millenniums, until God waited for the perfect time to send Jesus. And there's many reasons why God decided to send Jesus at the time in history he did. I won't go into that, I'll go into that some other time. But it's very important that we understand that God waited for the perfect time for humanity to begin to see the fact that God didn't just do this for some people. He didn't just do this for the Jews. He didn't just do this for Israel. He did this for all of humanity. And that anyone who can believe, the Bible says, can now become adopted into the family of God. Amen? Amen. It's a complicated plan unless you actually see Christ and know what Christ did for us, all right? We have a higher purpose. And God wants us to see ourselves in Christ. And this is the last point I want you guys to see, is that not only do we have a vertical heritage and we have a vertical identity, we now have a vertical inheritance. Somebody say inheritance. Inheritance. This is the last few verses I'm going to show you. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is the second to last book in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. You have to say amen. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Somebody say all things. Has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right? Verse 3 says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, we all taught that we ought to pray and we ought to look for God to bless us and give us things. And, you know, and that's usually how I grew up and I prayed. Until I read this verse one day and I said, wait a minute. The Bible says in verse 3, God in his divine power hath given unto us all things. Not say that he will give us, but he has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that I need for my life, God, the Bible says that God has given it to us. When did he give it to us? When he gave us his son. Why? Because he created all things to be aligned and to be summed up in Christ. That when we see Christ and we receive Christ, everything else we need in life is found in him, because God designed our purpose to be found in Christ. And when we find Christ, Christ begins to now reveal to us our career path we ought to choose, what relationships we ought to be in, what friendships we ought to avoid. Come on. He begins to show us everything else, our lives, everything else we need in our lives to continue to live the life God wants us to live. Here's something that I really want you guys to get down in your spirit, because we come to God because we need him to do something for us, right? And we come to him because we need a blessing from him, but we need to begin to understand that Christ himself is the blessing, all right? Christ himself, the blessing of the Lord, makes you rich and adds no sorrow. Christ himself is the blessing. Christ himself is the blessing. Look at another verse. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look what this verse is. Verse 32. Romans 8, 32. Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, Jesus, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's how the Bible says. If God was willing to not spare his very own son from us, how will he not be ready and willing to freely give us all things? So I want you to think about everything that you need in life, whatever it is that you may be in need of right now. Just think about what you need. All right? We believe that God is good. We believe he's ready to do it. But I want you to know that God is not giving you anything else. God is not giving you anything else. Because everything he wanted to give us is found in his son, in Christ Jesus. That's why we got to believe, when we were singing that song, Christ alone is the cornerstone. Because that's how the Lord designed it for us. He designed our destiny, our inheritance, our identity, our heritage to be wrapped up in the cornerstone, to be built upon the foundation of Christ alone. And that when we build our lives on this truth that Christ is now my cornerstone, everything else in my life will be built upon that one revelation. That one truth alone would be enough for me to have everything else that I need in life. Do we believe that? It's not another job that you need. You need to just simply stand on the foundation of Christ alone. Come on. It's not more medication or not whatever it is that you need for your life. It's not more money. It's simply Christ alone. That is what God has orchestrated and designed before the foundation of the earth. And what the enemy wants to do is to keep you distracted and to keep you playing with doubt about who Christ is in your life, and will keep you focused on everything else and not get you to see the truth. That the enemy knows that before the foundation, he was there, foundation before the foundation of the earth. He knew that God had a plan to send his son. He saw the plan unfold. And so when God created us, his design is like, listen, I don't want humanity to get what I couldn't get. Lucifer wanted to be a son, and he didn't have permission to be. He wanted to be worshipped and receive glory. He didn't get a chance. And so when he rebelled in heaven, the Bible says God cast him out, and one-third of the angels fell with him. And then God then created us in his image and then said, this is the people that I'm going to now prepare, who is also going to share in the same love that I have for my son. And the devil envies you and hates you because of that. You see, this is just bigger than the devil don't like me and he don't like my family. This is beyond that. All right? This is a vertical war we're talking about. Before the foundations of the earth. And what I love is that when we begin to, when we have the faith, you see, faith is what allows us to win every fight that we're going to face in life. The Bible says we're fighting the good fight of faith. It's not a bad fight. It's a good fight. The thing about it is that we got to have the faith to actually overcome, because the things that God wants to show you in his word, it requires faith to believe it. Number one, we weren't there in the foundations of the world. We don't know what was going on. So we have to take his word for it. We have to take his word for it. So if God, verse 32, he says, listen what the word says. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How can he just only give us his son and not give us all things? All right? That's what Paul is saying. So I want you to understand this. God's Christ is God's everything. God's Christ, his son, is everything. He's already blessed you with everything that you need in life. All things that pertain to life and godliness is found inside of the revelation of Christ alone. And so when we bring back to Colossians 3:1, if we have been raised with Christ, if we're seated with him, we now need to set our minds on those things which are above, those things which are available and found only in Christ Jesus. Amen? That is what the Christian life is all about. So I'm going to give you these last points. Number one. So basically what we talked about, you discover a vertical purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to all make personal commitments and personal decisions to know more about Jesus, to study and understand who Christ is, and ask God to reveal to me about Christ. Because again, if everything that I need is found in Christ alone, it's my relationship with Christ that's going to help me get a better understanding of what I've been called to do, right? Point number two we said earlier is that our purpose was created before even our own conception, all right? So God was thinking about us before we were thinking about ourselves, and before we knew anything about who we were, God already knows everything. He told Jeremiah, Bible says that I knew you and formed you. I knew you, I sanctified you, I ordained you, even in your mother's womb. Come on. And so when we come back to God, we begin to find out that, you know, God has a bigger mission, he has a bigger purpose, he has a bigger plan in store for my life. And my favorite part about all of this is that when we study the life of Christ, we see that Christ, when he was on the earth, he had a limitless life. There was no impossibilities in Christ's life. There was nothing in Christ's way that he did not have the ability or the power to overcome it, to fulfill the purpose that God had for him. Christ had a limitless life, right? He was able to, what we always talk about, he was able to walk on water and multiply food if he needed to. Everything he needed, even if it required supernatural intervention, God was doing it on his behalf just because Jesus Christ had a vertical purpose. And I'm telling you, when you begin to embody the vertical purpose that God has had for you, I don't care what situations happened in your life that seems to keep you in bondage to the things on this earth, God is saying today that you have access to a limitless life, a life that supersedes what this world can offer you. There's nothing right now. I don't care how broke you are today. I don't care about who left you yesterday or last year or when you was a child. God is saying, I had plans before the foundation of the earth to make you the focus of my love and to ultimately cause you to live the same way my son was able to live on this earth. And that was limitless. You have a divine advantage over your life. There is a divine momentum in your life right now. There is a favor that comes from heaven for everyone who's willing to see themselves out of the perspective of God's love for them, which is found in Christ. Come on. So as we wrap this message up, I'm going to show you guys one last verse, and then we're done. Look at John chapter 3. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 3. You know, this is the simplicity of Christ. Believe in Christ, God adds everything to your life. That's it. You believe in Christ, and God will add everything into your life. John chapter 3, verse 35. Verse 34, 35, 36. The Bible says, verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God give not the Spirit by measure unto him. Speaking about Jesus. So the one who God sent, his words, God has given him not the Spirit by measure. In other words, God gave him the Spirit without measure, without limits, the Holy Spirit. And in verse 35, the Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Verse 36, he that believes on the Son has what?
Everlasting
life. Come on. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It's a stern warning, right? But look, I love verse 35. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now, in the translation, you see the capital S on that son, meaning that is referring to Jesus. Capital S. So the Father loves the Son. The Father loved Jesus, and he has given all things into his hands. When the Bible says all things, he's speaking about all things. He's talking about this drum set right here. He's speaking about that car outside. He's speaking about this block. He's speaking about this planet. He's speaking about the universes. All things that exist, the Bible teaches us that it exists for Christ. And that at the end, all things will be summed up in Christ. That's the eternal purpose. At the end, by the end of this life, as we know it, you know, people talk about, you know, the world's going to end in December. The Mayan calendar ended around this time. And people are worried about all this stuff. The world's not going to end in December, okay? The world's not even going to end. What's going to happen by the end, or what we know is the end, is that Christ is going to return, and that all things that has ever happened in this earth, I'm talking about from the very beginning of time all the way to the end, God's eternal purpose is that everything is going to come to a close and is going to be summed up in Christ. I don't know what that's going to look like. I think what's going to happen is that, you know, we see all these nations and that are now becoming more and more connected. It's called a globalization. And the conspiracy theorists call it the New World Order, and the Illuminati is taking over and all this stuff. It's not the New World Order, it's not the Illuminati. It's God orchestrating a plan so that when Christ returns, all things are going to be summed up in him. That's what's happening. All nations are going to increase in unity. People are going to come together, and they're going to be looking for the one. Okay, something is happening. Everything is all of our money are going to start, is going to start becoming one. We're not going to have all these different currencies soon. There's going to be one currency. It's going to be one. They're trying to get one leader. You know that? In the world, the UN and all these nations are coming together, and they want to have one primary leader in the world. One person to call the shots. Not just in America, but in all the nations on the earth. They don't know who it is, but we know that one leader is going to be Jesus. Everything is going to be summed up in him. And so, as you see, I mean, we can go on, I can go on and show you guys scriptures after scriptures, but this is just the beginning about this vertical purpose. But the purpose that God has is greater. That's why God says, set your mind on things above. Listen, and he says, when you do that, everything else you need in life will be added to you. You don't got to worry about a job. You don't got to worry about money. You don't got to worry about your house. I will take care of all of that. But just make my kingdom a priority. Just make my son a priority in your life. Make Christ the focus of your love and your affection and your attention. And when you set your mind on these things, everything else will be added to you. You know? He says the Father loves the Son and has given all things to him. And then when you get into Christ, everything that the Father has given to the Son is now given to you.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Can you receive that?
Thank you.
This is what he planned for the beginning of time, before the beginning of time. Jesus. Everything that I need, life, everything I need in life is going to come by me simply believing and receiving that the Father sent the Son to die for me. This is the gospel. This is the good news. When you believe that in your heart, all things will be summed up in him. I'm going to show you one last verse. I'm sorry, that's it. This is it. John chapter 17. This is my favorite chapter, and I encourage you all to read this chapter during this week. John chapter 17. This was Jesus' prayer before he went to the cross. This was his last prayer. He prayed to the Father before he went to the cross. All right, so I don't know if you guys know, like, you know, when somebody's about to die, and, you know, people usually try to huddle around them and meet with them because they're going to give their dying words, right? And usually the dying words are like the most important or the most special thing that they're going to say before they leave the earth. I look at this chapter as like Jesus' dying words. Like this was his last real prayer to God before he left. He said, this is what I really want to see happen on the earth before. Oh, I want to see it. Before I come back, this is what I really want to see happen, all right? So let's look at Jesus' dying words in this chapter and we're done. Look at verse of chapter 17. Let's look at verse 14. I can read the whole thing, but I won't. Verse 14 says, Jesus said, I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. Talking about his followers at that time in history. I pray that you shouldn't take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. Because they are vertical, right? Verse 17, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to set them apart. Make them different through your truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither do I pray for them, but I also pray for everyone who will believe on me through their word. That's us now. Verse 21, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So Jesus was saying, I'm praying that they will all be unified. But get this, not that they will be have unity just as, you know, brothers and sisters, or they have this cool friendship. Not only did he say that, he was saying, I want them to be unified and be one, even as I am in you. Jesus praying to God, the Father, and saying, even as I am one with you, I pray that they all also will understand that we have planned from the beginning that they will be one with us. That we will see ourselves in Christ and know that, God, the same way that you love me and all the stuff you were willing to do for me when I was on the earth, you're also willing to do the same for them if they believe in this word. He then went on to say, look in verse 22, and the glory, somebody say glory.
Glory.
And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Somebody said, you know, you can't have God's glory because God said he won't share his glory with another. I said, that's true. He did say that. But Jesus prayed in verse 22, the glory which you gave me, I give to them. We're not trying to steal God's glory. This is what he wanted from the beginning, that we will have his glory. Bible says, all have sinned and fallen what? Short of the glory of God. What do we say that sin meant? Sin meant to miss the mark. Like an archer who was aiming for the bull's eye and you miss the bull's eye. It's literally meaning when God created us, the bull's eye of our living, the bull's eye, the mark, the high point of our lives will be us living in the glory of God. And sin is failing to live in the glory that God wants us to have. That's what sin is all about. It's not about you fornicating or do anything else. The true sin is the sin of not believing that God wants you to live in the same glory that Christ himself was able to live with on earth. That we are to share in this glory, man. We're supposed to live with this. Glory speaks of wealth, it speaks of health, speaks of supernatural favor, speaks of beauty, speaks of all this stuff. You know? So Jesus said, the glory which you gave me, I am giving them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Last two verses. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect. Somebody say perfect.
Perfect.
That they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Once again, Jesus prayed and said, Lord, I want my believers to know that the same way you loved me is the same way you love them. And my dying act on the cross is going to provide the evidence that you love me, that you love them just as much as you love me. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Hallelujah. So we have also this inheritance. We're going to be with Christ where he is. Come on. When I die, I'm not wondering if I'm going to purgatory or hell or anywhere else you believe. We're going to be with him. All right? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the what? The foundation of the world. It goes, Jesus went back to that, right? Before the foundation of the world. Amen. Righteous Father, the world has not known thee. I just feel like I just need to keep reading this. But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and I will declare it, that the love where thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Come on.
Okay.
This is the most vertical prayer we see in the Bible. And Jesus prayed. He said, Lord, the same glory you've given me before the foundation of the world, the same love you've given me. You know, Jesus came from above, didn't he? He came from heaven. Jesus was there when God created all things. And Jesus said, the same glory you've given me, how we created the worlds together, and we've handcrafted man and designed them and orchestrated how their lives are going to be. Lord, the same glory that we were able to share from the beginning, I want my people, my believers, to also know that I'm bringing them into this place of unity and love with you. They can have the same, you know, you can have the same intimacy with God that Jesus Christ himself had with them. You can know the Father just as deeply as the Son knew the Father. Come on. But once again, as we close, this is where we ought to now surrender our lives and surrender what we know our purposes are supposed to look like, our lifestyle is supposed to look like, what we think we know about ourselves. I want you to just begin to be like that eagle who was around those chickens and began to realize, listen, y'all know what y'all talking about. I see that eagle up there. That's the life I'm called to live. I want you guys to also see that about yourselves. This world doesn't know how to run. People don't know how to run this world. I love President Obama. He still doesn't know how to run this country.
That's right. Come on.
All right? No one in this world knows how to run this. You don't even know how to run yourself.
Amen.
Why? Because God designed that all things will be summed up in Christ. Christ alone is the cornerstone. Hallelujah. When we come to Christ, he shows us the way. This is why wars and rumors and all this stuff are going to increase in the last days. Not because God just wants to see bad things happen, and so that we're going to get to a place of desperation where we're all going to look up and realize our redemption draweth nigh. It's not going to come by me trying to depend on so-and-so and depend on the government. It's going to come by me depending on Christ alone. Somebody say Christ alone.
Christ alone.
Come on, he's my cornerstone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up our hands? And I just want us to all make a declaration today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I know we've all come from different journeys in our lives. And we've all come through different struggles. We've all made our way. And just the fact that you are sitting here today means that you are already in the flow of God's vertical purpose. The fact that you are here hearing this message today means that God has already ordained that this day, this point of your life will be a transformation. It'll be a turnaround moment for you. And I want you to realize that this is a sacred hour. I'm not just speaking about something that I'm making up. This is an eternal purpose. This is something that has been set in stone from everlasting to everlasting. That all things will be summed up in Christ. If the devil had the ability, he would not have allowed you to be here this day. But the fact that you are here means that God has already blessed you and has given you what you need to have things pertaining to life and godliness. All right? So what I want us to do is I want us to make a corporate decision to surrender our lives. Our lives that we have been working so hard to build before we knew that there was a vertical purpose. You know, some of you have been striving and aiming for success in different areas, and you've been trying to figure out, you know, God, I don't know what I'm called to do, and you're trying to find your purpose. I'm believing that tonight will be the initial moment where from now on, Christ will begin to reveal to you everything that him and his Father and the Holy Spirit has designed for us from the beginning of time. Everything that he's called us to do will become as plain and as clear as day. Do you believe that?
Yes.
The Bible says the path of the righteous will get brighter and brighter as the shining of a new day. And I'm going to pray that path will become brighter and brighter for you. Amen? So I just want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord,
Lord,
I make a decision today to surrender my life. Everything that I have been working for.
Everything that I have been building.
Everything that I tried.
Everything that I tried.
And I was good at.
And I failed at.
I surrender it all.
And I
want to
build my life.
Only on
the cornerstone. cornerstone
of who Christ Jesus is.
Christ,
Christ, you are my rock.
Christ, you are my rock.
I build my life on you.
I build my life on you.
Improve.
Improve
the quality of my life.
Allow me to see
that my life
is
only going to be found
in you.
I thank you now
for designing it
and mastering
so that it can be a
masterpiece when I come before the Father.
Lord, I thank you
that you are
on my side.
And if God before me,
who can be against me?
No one.
No one.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, just thank God for this. But I thank you for revealing this vertical purpose for us. Come on, somebody say, I'm looking it up.